Welcome back to The Mountains and the Sea, where we find the highs and lows of each and every Prince album and much, much more every other week. I'm Christy.
And this is Josh.
And we're so glad that you're back with us today. Today, we are talking about videos from Diamonds and Pearls. Some of them.
Some of them.
Uh-huh. There's more, but those haven't been released yet in our time machine that has taken us back to 1991 and 1992.
Correct. Early 1992.
Yep. We have already talked about the videos for Get Off.
True.
And Cream.
Confirm.
And also associated videos. So we talked about the Violet the Organ Grinder video already.
Yes. Because
there was a whole video that came out that was just for Get Off stuff.
It was like the Get Off maxi single in video form. Uh-huh. On a convenient VHS cassette.
That's right.
Yes.
And today,
cover that ad nauseum.
Yes.
Yeah.
And today we have.
Oh, sorry.
Today.
I'm like Pavlov's pod.
Yeah.
Today. The rest of the videos that were officially released to promote the album prior to showing up on a video collection.
That's right.
Later on.
So we're starting out with Diamonds and Pearls because it was December 4th, 1991. Then Insatiable because it was the week of December 16th, 1991. Yeah. I don't know why we don't have a specific date for that one, but whatever.
It's all right.
Willing and Able.
Yeah.
January 26th, 1992. Mm-hmm. Two versions of Money Don't Matter Tonight, both of which were released April 14th, 1992.
It was a good winter spring season to be a Prince fan.
Yeah.
If you like videos.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
Right, well, let's just dive right in.
We'll dive right in. So we are looking at videos that are on as they were released. We're covering all of Diamonds and Pearls as it was released, which has kind of brought us here.
Right.
Which is sort of kind of is, spoiler alert, the last of the series of podcasts we'll do in the order that Diamonds and Pearls was unveiled to the world.
Okay.
So we almost kind of reached the end of that, and now we're in the ever after.
Okay.
The Diamonds and Pearls ether.
That's right. And you'll tell me the what we're talking times. About next a little bit later.
Yeah, it's not your business now.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, you don't know.
No, I don't know.
It's one of the few things you don't know on this podcast. I clutch those little nuggets tightly to my heart and guard them.
That's right.
So don't approach me towards the end of this episode. I get real defensive. I will say that Prince did not try to tear down the thought that Diamonds and Pearls was a Christmas song by the timing of the video release,
no.
Which was December of 1991.
Uh-huh, December 4th.
Just a coincidence, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes. This was when the album came out. He wanted it out as soon as he could, I'm sure, and this is how it fell.
Yes.
And so, you know, those little bells and Diamonds and Pearls.
Well, they had to hurry here because, I mean, he was 9 months away from releasing his next album. So we got to get these singles and these videos on the air stat. Let's go.
Before Prince loses interest.
Yeah.
Because he loses interest much more quickly than the rest of us.
Well, he didn't not produce enough stuff.
That's true.
To release, to promote this album. That is for sure.
That's true. This was directed by Rebecca Blake, who also directed the Cream video, which we have talked about, and the Kiss video back in 1986.
Which we have not talked about.
And this was her final video with Prince.
Yeah.
Prince wanted Maite in the video.
Yes. Yes.
He flew her to where they were filming this. And Rebecca said, I don't think so. She vetoed the idea. I do not know why. But it makes sense to me that her vetoing Maite's appearance in this would mark this as her final video with him.
Oh, do you think that could be why? I don't know. Well, I mean, it wasn't because there weren't young kids in the video, because there were. There weren't young kid dancers or underage dancers, or maybe she had an inkling that he had a history or was infatuated with her a bit.
Right, and maybe that's what she was trying to avoid, but I think you and Maite are very close in age.
Oh, me, Josh, Norman, and yes. Maite are close in age?
Yes. So
I never
she,
really noticed that. Yeah. I didn't really even look at it that way. Yeah. Okay.
So she may have already been 18. I can't remember exactly when she was born, but I think by 1991, 1992, she was close. Oh, Josh is looking it up for us.
I don't think you should come on to and host a Prince podcast and say,
I don't remember Maite's birthday.
Yeah. November 12th, 1973.
Yes. So.
Barely.
Yeah.
She would have turned 18 in late November, 1991. This video was released in December, so I'm certain that it was not shot right. in November.
But most places in the United States, even then, 17 was age of consent. So she would have been, it would have been okay. It might have been squeaky.
You know, here we go. Here we go.
But it legally, probably fine. Yeah. But I could see that being a reason why he would maybe not work with her again in that time period just after that.
Oh, not because he was angry with her, but because she might have known too much.
Or like, just he like was like, she doesn't support us. And, you know, age is just a number.
Okay.
As Prince would say on the next album.
Maybe Maite, who we know is an avid listener to this podcast, could comment on social media for us.
Very sweet.
If your name was Maite and you wanted to make a comment on this on the Twitters or the Facebooks, where would you go?
Sure, you can find us on Facebook, The Mountains and the Sea, a Prince podcast. You can find us on Twitter at TMATS, TMATS podcast. Or if, you know, you don't want to do the socials and do things publicly, for whatever reason, you can send us an email, teamoutspodcast@gmail.com. Maite's not the only one who can use those things. You are probably less famous listeners. You're welcome to also join us in those places.
You are seen and you are heard.
Yes, and we do appreciate you. And I still have stickers. So if anybody needs stickers, just, you know.
Oh. You're talking about Mountains in the Sea stickers?
That's
or like
right.
Scratch and sniff strawberry?
They do not scratch and sniff. But some of them are sparkly.
It smells like the Arctic Ocean. That's weird.
We're not a Axe body spray.
Well, maybe we should look into that next time.
Oh, no.
Scratch and
sniff. No Axe, nothing, links.
I know. The
we
list of podcasts
like
that were pushed over the edge of fame by scratch and sniff stickers is as long as my leg.
Okay.
Well, among other children who did make it past the Rebecca Blake veto, was a kid of the age of 9. Did you read this?
I did.
Finish the thought.
Okay, so one of the children in the video.
Yeah.
Jamila Akiko Abachilombo.
I didn't want to say the name. I wanted you to say it.
I knew that's why you were passing it to me. Grew up to have her own musical career under the name of Mila J. And she had a song in 2012 called Blinded that Prince and Joshua Welton sampled heavily.
I mean, basically like sung over music. Well,
yeah. For Prince's 2014 song, You Know.
I thought that was a cool little nugget.
Yeah, me too.
Credit to Prince Hall. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, I knew they sampled the song. I didn't know that she appeared
in the Diamonds and Pearls video.
In the Diamonds and Pearls video. Let's be real clear about what I know and what I don't.
You could fill podcasts after podcasts of things I don't know.
As long as my leg.
As long as history itself.
Ooh.
So, we start the video. Prince is chased by the paparazzi.
Hit the media's insatiable desire to pursue our poor prince continues.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Like, the Cream video kind of has a little segue here.
Yes.
They're sort of related.
They are sort of related.
I think it's the same train station, too.
Uh-huh. I bet it was all filmed at the same time. The whole running part.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why go multiple places to run? We can run in one spot.
It's like a treadmill, but for train stations.
It's a media treadmill. Yeah, we have the sound of old school flash photography.
Uh-huh.
The 1930s, like...
Yes. Is it 30s? Is it 50s? Is it 60s? Is it 90s? We don't really know. It's all very confusing, but it doesn't really matter.
I don't know. The prince is trotting away.
Uh-huh.
Unable to keep his focus on the escape, he keeps turning around to look and flailing about in choreographed ways and manners.
Sure.
And the crowd, we are in the crowd with the media kind of following him in hot pursuit. Very choreographed, cutesy run by Prince.
Yeah.
He takes kind of what I would call a Looney Tunes-ish hop and skip with an abrupt left turn as he, you know, you're just missing like the tire skid sound
and
effects.
And the little squeal.
Yes. As he tries to evade his pursuers.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He does make it.
He does, and then he contemplates pearls as the music starts. And those pearls, there were 5 sets made for the video.
Oh, okay.
And one of them sold in November of 2023 for about $11,000.
Oh, were they real pearls?
No.
Okay.
are not real pearls. Okay. They are valuable because they were seen in
the
video.
That's a prop. Yes. That makes sense. I mean, he has strings of them. You said 5. Were made for the video. I wonder why they made them. Like, couldn't, like, costume jewelry, maybe they needed to be longer so he could wrap them around his hands or whatever.
Maybe. It wasn't, like, 5 strings. There were 5 sets of these. So it was, like, I'm sure I'll post a link to the way it looks.
Okay.
But there's, like, a clasp with an eye. It's got the kind of a almost Prince stylized eye that's part of it. I'm sure that was part of the reason why it was made too. You don't really see it hardly at all in the video.
I've never noticed
but,
that.
Okay. Yeah, the clasp is a certain way and there's like 3 strings that are in between and then dangly parts and it's a whole thing. So, but of the sets, there were 5 sets of them made and one of them sold. When they did a big... like a huge sort of auction of print stuff online, kind of in conjunction with the release of Diamonds and Pearls Super Deluxe.
Get it while the getting's good.
Mm-hmm.
I got 3 strands of pearls.
Uh-huh.
They will shine. Okay. So he has strings of pearls.
Mm-hmm.
Prince does, contemplating them, like you said. I'll point out again. There's nary a diamond in the collection of jewels that he only holds pearls, no diamonds.
Right.
He plays piano in a lovely atrium setting.
Yeah.
Very cool, like art, very artsy shots of Prince's reflection and the black mirrored piano that's really nicely shot.
It is very nice. Diamond and pearl are there, but very like in the background, but they have very nice black outfits on and fancy updos, and Prince is wearing a white collared but very deeply unbuttoned shirt with a black vest and black pants.
Yeah, like casual cool for Prince.
Yep. Rosie stands next to the piano.
Yeah, she's there to accompany, essentially.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then there's a dancer.
Is a dancer in the atrium with the two of them while the song...
Which is kind of what I assumed Maite would have done, was dance in that particular room.
Yeah, they saved her for 7.
That's fine.
That's all right. There's a cool little dance move. I mean, it's like very calm, pretty shots of Prince playing piano, Rosie singing, the dancer around this atrium. Prince does like... does a cool little dance move at 2:19 into the video. I think it's very cool.
Yeah.
Just a little like foot hip motion thing.
Yeah, and he's kind of in silhouette in front of these very fancy doors.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I guess the dancer was supposed to be his girlfriend.
I guess, because he's gently kissing shoulders, arms.
Yeah, and it was almost like they'd had a little bit of an argument, and then he like kisses her and puts the pearls on her. Like, I'm sorry for whatever it is I've done.
I'm sorry. Come be in my video. Compared to Cream, which we covered and is a song that sounds very sexual, and a video that implied heavily sexuality when that's not what the song was about at all, here we have Diamonds and Pearls, which is, I would say, like a pretty sweet love song.
Sure.
That's also somehow turned more sexual in the first part of the video also. Mm-hmm. And a strange way, weird way.
Yeah.
An expected way, because it's Prince and there's a pretty girl, so he's got to be courting her in some way.
Yeah. I don't know. But then there's a piano that kind of sounds like the ticking of a clock. And that's when things take a shift. It is time to have the performance part of this video, with the Game Boys at the bottom of stairs and Prince, with now entirely clad in white, runs up the steps in his yellow guitar, and starts playing with his back to the camera. And the rest of the band is around. They're there with their instruments, but kind of far off
secondary,
to the sides.
Right? Yeah. I know when I mention lighting, you think that it is me trying to find a compliment for Graffiti Bridge. But pay attention to the lighting on the stage. It seems like it's all white, but there are yellow, pink, and blue lights that give it this cool, fiery kind of look.
Mm-hmm.
Prince is fire, I would say. Also, you know, he's in white, so he's easy to find. His guitar is yellow, so he's easy to find screaming. But yeah, it was like a huge concert-type touring stage with pillars and a giant staircase of, 20 steps? I didn't count them all.
I think I read that it was like a courthouse, but I don't know. I'll have to look that up. I don't remember. I vaguely remember that, and then I didn't write it down. Why would I read it and not write it down?
You write down everything that you read and some that you haven't. I don't know. It seemed like a soundstage kind of thing to me.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. Just because, like, the steps, and I remember the stage that they're on was very polished and, you know, smooth looking,
right.
Like not outdoors. Like, if it rained on the courthouse, then you'd have dozens of falsely accused people slipping and hurting themselves.
Okay.
And maybe some guilty people, too. Mm-hmm. Got what you deserve, guilty people. Wear your galoshes when you come to court.
If more ballet dancers.
Two of them, right?
Yeah, a couple this time.
I think the male dancer is actually the choreographer, because he's listed as Sean Cheesman, Chessman, Cheesman, is listed as choreography, but is also listed in dance, also, I guess unconfirmed on Prince Vault, that is him, the male dancer, who is twirling the female dancer around during the performance part.
We get little flashbacks to the room where he was doing the dancing.
Yeah.
And there's a particularly fun little thing where he bounces off a couch and does the splits and then rises up.
It's so much fun. It's like an epic. That's the scene.
Right.
For the whole video.
Yes,
right?
That's like the one. That's the one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, he bounces off a couch into the splits on the floor and back up, and it looks like it cost him half a breath.
Yeah, like nothing. It's awesome.
In a song that isn't like a super dance track, you know?
Right.
But he found a way to make it work. That's like at 2:55 into the video online.
Yeah.
Then I struggled to describe what this. A lot of going through doors, and there was the chase by the media, going into a door, and you know he's got this atrium of a sanctuary, almost an arboretum kind of thing. And then he didn't go through any door in particular, but ended up on stage for the performance part of this. But then falls back into the second reality from the third reality for some of these other, you know, the couch bouncing dance thing, and then. I landed on he does a reverse Wizard of Oz move after some time, right? He goes out of the world of color through a doorway into It's the projection room. It's labeled on the door,
yes.
Right?
Like,
As color turns to black and white as he escapes again.
Uh-huh.
Then, I mean, I realize in the Wizard of Oz, it like happened that way too at the end.
Right.
This isn't the end.
Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of close to the end, but like different.
Yeah. It's the first time that it's happened. So he's going from the colored world into the black and white world that is like, but it's the projection room.
Yeah,
Like and a screening room? Is that what that is?
I think there must be like a screening room or like a projection of hopes for the future. I feel like there's a message there.
That's kind of a filmy, flashy kind of
quality to
it. Like movie film.
Uh-huh.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why he's going into the projection room, but it feels like there's meaning there that I can't quite get to.
It could be him projecting his view of what he hopes for the future because it's this room that's filled with just him and Rosie again.
Uh-huh.
Filled with kids, not babies.
Yeah, some of them are very young, but most of them are
like toddlers, older than toddlers, younger than...
There's at least one toddler like at the very beginning, like on a kind of a tricycle, but they're all wearing kind of old style clothes or uniforms, mm-hmm. and the toys are kind of retro.
Very much retro.
So I don't exactly know what that is. Maybe he's projecting himself into a simpler time or... has this idealized view of what it's going to be like to have a family of his own, or I don't know. The kids blow bubbles. Prince prances among them.
He points at one, looks at him in the eye, points at the other, uh-huh. like a little cheeky thing, like his way of saying, you're special, or uh-huh. I'm seeing what you're doing, I like it, kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah.
Rosie rocks one of the kids at a moment, too, yeah. like a mother-child type thing.
Yeah, I think she's got a couple kids on the chair with her, the rocking chair with her. But yeah, so I find this video very confusing. Did I take the words right out of your mouth?
Confusing is not the word. The lighting is great. No, I bet it was hard to direct a video for Prince, who had just directed two films of his own.
Yeah.
Has his own production studio, which they're not using, by the way, not for much of this.
Right.
So I think that she was probably more of an, let me hear what your ideas are, and I'm going to be more of a producer than a director, necessarily.
Right. She's going to direct him to get the shots that he wants.
Yeah, let me help you with your vision, which to me, again, is like more of a producer, even though clearly she was a talented director and could do much more than that, but Prince could do it all himself also.
Could he?
He could.
He could. So, fun. It really was. Okay. I mean, yeah, that's fair.
But like, it didn't really say, like, who wrote this? There's, like, storylines here. Who,
right.
you know, who put the shot list together? Let's get some, you know, 20 kids and dress them up like they're from the past, sort of, and give them trikes and balls and bubbles and throw in airplanes uh-huh. and just, like, being kids, like, an idealized version of kids.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have kids, you know that that's, like... It's everyone's dream for their own kid. Oh, you're just going to play with a ball inside all day?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so I just don't know what the story they're trying to tell is. It's very muddled. Like, is it a song about sexuality? Is it a performance? Is it trying to give us a deeper view into the meaning of the song where... like, children don't care about things like diamonds and pearls.
I think this is why I am not a huge fan of not just Prince videos, but videos in general.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a song is poetry. It's a story anyway. The video part of it to me is almost like it's just a marketing tool more than like part of the artist's vision or song.
Oh, I think kind it of an, can be part of the artist's vision, but I get it's fine. You don't have to like them. We just have to talk about them on this show.
What you're locked into, Josh, is this discussion now. So, I mean, I think Prince looks awesome in the video. It's one of my favorite, like, Prince looks. Uh-huh. The typhoon do and, like, successful, weirdly inverted sideburn beard thing.
Yeah.
And his dancing is great. His singing is great. It's neat to see, like, the human part of Prince where, oh, he, like, is around other human beings every once in a while, like the rest of us. And, like, lets kids have fun and falls in love with lots of women and, you know, also plays an instrument, seem on piano, on guitar. So there's a lot going on and like multiple scenes. And so it's a lot. It's almost like that's make a pretty thing to watch while you listen to the song.
I mean, and that's really basically what it is. But it feels like there are multiple stories here and none of them are very successful. So
yeah. Well, whatever. He would continue that thought into the next album, which was supposed to be a story. I don't think that, well, the way it was edited and cut down for the final album made it even less understandable and probably made Prince like it more.
Right.
Oh, this is even harder to get.
Yeah.
Cool.
You're confused. Awesome.
Yeah, love it.
Did it.
Yeah. But I do think it was a nicely done video, shot-wise. Like, you got Prince and the whole media thing in the 1930s nostalgia. They had all that kind of thing going on in Cream. It continues here. Of course, you have Prince seducing a woman a little bit. You got Prince playing piano, band performance, dancing. And Prince escapes into this more innocent realm of love or idealized, you know, children are innocent
parenthood.
And the truth or whatever it might be. So while I agree, confusing and innocently weird, like, or almost like you don't even know how weird this is.
Yeah. Well, if it just comes on MTV, you're sitting there, you're watching MTV, it's on, it comes on, you watch it, you're like, oh, that was very
pretty
pleasant.
Yeah. That's because you're not trying to, like,
yeah, you're not trying to
discern the
piece,
plot.
Yeah, right. But as we sit here and look at it, it's only when I sit here and watch the video with a more careful eye and with the, I'm going to take copious notes about this, that I start to realize how deeply weird it is.
Yep. You're right.
It's fine.
You're
it
right.
can be deeply weird. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, we watched Poor Things. This was this is not at that level.
Poor Things was deeply weird, but
it was like delightfully weird.
Yeah.
Delightfully, disturbingly weird. I wouldn't say this was disturbing. It was just a mishmash of innocence and sexuality and musicianship that don't in areas where there's not an overlapping gradient or like room for, do you love that girl and are you playing with kids with their toys is kind of a weird.
Yeah. Whatever. It's fine.
And where are the diamonds?
Where are the diamonds?
Next.
Insatiable.
I forgot that this was even a video. Never once did I see this on any video station.
No.
Never ever.
Wouldn't.
Never heard it on the radio.
I mean, they're making basically a softcore porn film. I mean, it's not that graphic in this video, but that's what they're talking about doing in the song.
Correct. That's what's based on.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, you're right. I when I watched this, I was like, I don't know that I have seen this. It's been years.
I don't remember. Never saw it.
I do find like when watching them at the beginning, they seem almost stretched taller than the correct proportions online.
Oh,
yes. And I don't think it is, but it's like a 4x3 video from the early 90s. Anyway, directed by Randy St. Nicholas, who would be a longtime Prince photographer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, had directed Get Off and Violet the Organ Grinder. Yeah, Prince and this woman are whispering as they open the door to a dark room. And then you realize, oh, they're making the movie that they talk about in the song.
Yes, but aren't... So the camera's inside the home, which is like a soundstage home.
Right.
You know, essentially there's like three or four couches and candelabras with pearls hanging from them. But the camera's inside, and don't you hear up front, shh, girls, quiet. They're coming in now.
Uh-huh.
Shh, girls, quiet.
Like, so there's this room full, a house full of women who are already there. And this, if you follow the plot line, wasn't Prince's idea. It's his date's idea to bring him home and film him there. And I assume that she knows that there are, you know, there's like, you know, a population of ladies.
Yes. I mean, but you're not, it's unclear that there are other people there at the start.
It sounded a little like the beginning of Get Off when, you know, they, girls, you're here for the audition.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm Diamond, and this is Pearl. It sounds like that. Yeah. Shh, girls.
Okay.
Coming in now.
Yeah.
Okay, there are already girls there.
Yeah, so she says...
His date.
His date says to him, this is the film I want to direct.
Yeah.
This is the film I want to direct. What do you say?
And you get the lines, we'll do it until you don't want to do it anymore.
We'll do it until you don't want to do it anymore.
And I love how it's like... They're both in control. They're both giving consent.
Yeah, Prince even like takes a moment to pull down his glasses. Like, you think this bothers me? You think I'm afraid?
Yeah.
Doesn't she also say, my job is easy. You're the one that has all the have to do all the work.
Uh-huh.
Now, when you want to stop, you just let me know. I mean, my job is easy. You're the one with all the work.
Yeah.
So he's going to perform for her.
Right.
So this is her little...
Yeah, this is her home video. This is for her delight.
Sure.
Yes. So his date is Barbara Lee Belmonte, and she wanted to be an actress, and instead she became the first Latino stuntwoman in Hollywood.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Barbara and Prince met in a club and became friends, and he asked her to be a part of this video.
How cool.
Yeah.
Did not know that. Awesome. So... While the video is inspired by the line, tonight we video, and so all you do is push the little red button.
And we'll erase the naughty bits.
Yeah. She's like winding film on this old-timey, I mean, very cool, artsy, vintage, you know, camera.
Yes.
It's not like a camcorder where... Okay. I'm just pointing out, like, I listen to the song and I see the video. I'm like, what is she doing? It would be like if, I know, but it'd be like listening to Kiss and in the video all they do is hug. Well, something that doesn't match up. This song is Raspberry Beret. Why is she wearing a fedora? A pork pie hat. What?
You get so mad about the...
I know.
Cranberry colored.
That's why I'm like, I know. Like, it can't be too literal, and you can't make it not literal. Why even make the video?
There's no pleasing Josh. No pleasing him. Oh.
I'm not pleased. I'm just here to ask questions.
Oh, Prince is wearing all black. Very tailored outfit. There's these lacy sleeves.
Yeah, loosely woven type thing, right? Kind of like the black version and less swirly version of the Get Off MTV performance outfit that's somewhat see-through.
They're very of the same sort of style and time period. It was, you can tell it was kind of a thing that he was into.
Yeah.
Somehow he makes it not too effeminate. I don't know very many men who could wear lacy sleeves like that and still and not look like they were trying to be too girlish.
Yeah, agree. I know I pointed it out when we covered Insatiable the song, the turn the lights out, strike a candle. So he actually does it in the video, which I don't remember seeing. So then I was like, ooh, let me isolate the Dolby Atmos mix where you can hear Prince blowing out the candle. I thought I was, you know, hot crap. And there's a video where he literally makes the, you know, just perfect timing, turns around, faces the camera, strikes a pose, and does the blowing out the candle thing.
Yeah.
So I'm just pointing out how ridiculously stupid I must have sounded back in episode 5 or whatever that was.
Oh, no, it was fine. I'd never seen this video until we watched for this.
Yeah. I was like, this is a little like the seduction version of Disney's Haunted Mansion with the floating candelabras in the black, but there are pearls hanging from them, and some of them come down to the ground and gather on the ground. It's just kind of, again, very artsy shots, very like Violet the Organ Grinder, tight shots, and Prince, a natural talent in front of a camera to kind of know how to pose himself and arrange his body in ways that
are seductive and interesting
and look good.
Mostly it looks good. I do wish you couldn't see the shoulder pads so clearly in his outfit. It bothered me when I noticed it. I was like,
fair. Sew those in a little bit tighter.
Or I don't know, something different than what it was.
If you recall, the shoulder pads in Violet the Organ Grinder like almost scratched a hole in the television we were viewing it on. They were so large and pointy, so it doesn't surprise me that you could see them here.
Yes.
He sings, "I want you alone in my dirty little cage," and he's sitting on a chair, and there are arms that come around. He's singing to the camera, so the camera operator is supposed to be his date. Who wants this film and like, you're doing this for me. And yet there's this creature woman behind the high back chair.
I'm like, up to this point, we've only seen like flashes of legs
that we
don't really understand. And it's like, okay, pretty legs.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, it's all the girls from all the women from the Cream video that like went back to this place for the after show.
I guess. I don't know. But yes, the furniture looks really familiar. Because I think it's Prince's furniture. Yeah. It's that like swoopy kind of chair that comes to a point. And there's a couch I think we've seen before or we'll see again at some point. But yes, it's like they're there together and all of a sudden these arms come around and caress his chest.
Yeah.
It is like a little creepy.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Agree. It's when he says, "I'll show my, if you show your," that dozens of women appear in the room, actually kind of dressed like Prince from the Diamonds and Pearls video. They all have on black pants and white tops, and it is a breast fest also. They open their shirts and their bustiers.
"I'll show you my" is way less risque than "you show me your."
Yeah. He was like, I'm going to fill in my Mad Lib now. "Nose and you boobs."
Yes.
Did you see at 4 minutes, 32 seconds in the video, there's a woman's black heel shoe that has the symbol on it that kind of focus on real quick.
I did notice that.
So, I mean, it's a relatively, I will say, it's not quite a literal raspberry beret for raspberry beret. I mean, it's a sort of literal telling of the story of the song, but insert all these other bodies that it was supposed to be like it's whatever, 2:45 in the morning, and it's just the two of them, and it's a private thing. There was not a lot of privacy here at all.
No, not really. And he ends up with more clothes on at the end than at any point, except when they first walked in.
Yes, out of the cold Minneapolis evening. Night. Morning.
Whenever.
Morning.
Whatever. It's all relative. It's a flat circle. It doesn't mean anything. It's a trick. Time's a trick. It doesn't matter what
Prince,
time it is.
Prince would agree with you.
That's true.
Speaking of Prince, he blows a kiss at the camera and kind of walks off, and the video comes to a close. So again, I'm just like, I'm a little torn over like critiquing or trying to explain, was this or was this not a good movie or film? It's a lot different than, is this or is this not a good music video?
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, did it look good? Did it fit the song? Do you like the song?
And I almost kind of take the other people being there as a little more like cerebral. Maybe they weren't really there.
Fantasy.
This is part of the like excitement and pretending portion of all this.
Okay, but there are lyrics in this song where Prince says, "You are my every fantasy," not "you and your 16 frat girls." It's So yes, I agree. It's probably this happened. This isn't like reality. This is not a docuseries. Diamonds and Pearls docuseries.
Well, maybe that like he has fantasies about a lot of different kinds of people and she could fit the bill of any of them. Okay. So they're all there fitting the bill for any fantasy he could possibly have. Okay. But he really ends up under the covers only with date, Barbara.
Here is a full video of all my fantasies and you embody it all.
Yeah. There we go.
Great. Okay.
Fixed it.
Good
Fixed
video.
It.
Good video. I mean, again, very like, I think for 1991, not that there weren't good videos or movies made then, but it's very artistically shot.
Sure.
I mean, we've seen some not great videos from Prince, okay? This is not one of those.
No.
It's nicely lit. It's somewhat minimal. I'm sorry. They have to use lights. They could do it wrong. Then I ask myself, does it make sense? And they're like, oh, does it matter? Does anybody care? It's a Prince video. It's Prince indulging in what he likes, which is seduction, sexy situations, which is basically seduction, dance, and lots of women.
Yeah, there we go.
Great.
Next up, we have the Willing and Able video. This was released as part of Super Bowl 26 on January 26, 1992.
Uh-huh.
All right, so the actual video was directed by Satara Shetter, who we've talked about before. She was art director for Get Off and Violet the Organ Grinder and others. She did worked on Graffiti Bridge. She directed a bunch of videos for the Love Symbol releases.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Super Bowl version included players from... I forgot to look up who played in the Super Bowl.
We'll get there.
You'll get there. Yeah. Okay.
I have notes.
Great.
Let's talk.
So they lip-synced lyrics also, right?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
What do you want to talk about?
All right. So there was kind of the shorter clip with the football players. There was the end credits. And then there was the actual video.
Yeah.
It features a different recording than the album version.
Oh, the completely like...
redone?
Almost probably like the first live studio... version of a song that we got an official release, even though it wasn't on audio release, it was on video. But like remember the Somebody Somebody maxi single we covered, and there was a live studio version, same song, just like replayed live in a studio.
Right.
It was kind of the approach here with additional, I mean, horns and the steels and more of a gospel kind of approach.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does some very charming finger clapping over the gold microphone with his index finger.
Yes, when the little Michael B. beat starts.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's right. I love his do-rag here and the black outfit with this lacy bolero jacket.
Is it not the same black outfit from Insatiable with the loosely woven...
Not completely, because that had a vest... In Insatiable, that was like a shirt that had lacy arms, and there was a vest, and he takes the lacy armed thing off at one point and just has the vest on.
Yeah, which is almost just like a collar.
Like a
suit collar.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like a bolero jacket top.
Okay. It's close, though.
It is very similar.
If there was a bolt of fabric, then it was... cut from the same cloth.
Literally,
Park,
right? Yes.
Yeah. I'm like instantly intrigued because I'm like, oh, that's Willing and Able. Oh, wait, that's different.
Uh-huh.
It's not the thing I know. Okay. Yeah. You see Tony M shown playing a guitar in the video.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun. Like I said, horns and Prince is singing in a really beautiful falsetto with a band. It's like almost like having access to a rehearsal.
Right, exactly. And there are a bunch of people there who are not the band.
Yeah.
And they're Fred, JD, Jeerlin, and Javetta Steele.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a director of photography or who it is that you see the crew like milling around with the band too.
They're not too precious about cameras being in the shot.
They don't care.
No, they don't care.
So I'm like, that's actually kind of cool.
It is cool. It's all a little too close.
It's all close, but it was like Studio C, I believe, at Paisley Park, which we've been in.
And it's not big.
Yeah, it's not a big place. And there are like how many people in the band at this point with the steels and the horn players and the entire MPG? There's like 20 people performing.
Right.
So then add, you know, they had to have lights, by the way, which they did well. So lighting, camera, there's got to be sound people in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instrument techs, all that stuff.
Yeah. And they did do some fun shots like in mirrors.
Yes.
So I thought that was kind of a way really to cool. like, mm-hmm. oh, that's an interesting shot. A little something different. But
yes. A tiny little mirror that would just like give you the right angle to see somebody's face.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Prince says he wants us to watch him dance, and I wish they could have pulled that camera back just a little bit so we could have seen that a little better and maybe seen. And there were a little, there were some quick cuts.
Yeah.
That gave me a just a little bit of rave into the year 2000 vibes, and it bothered me just a smidge.
You've said the word. There's plenty of like James Brown style mic play.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying it's MIC. 2 minutes and 44 seconds where he like pushes the microphone forward. He stops it with his foot on the stand and pulls it back to himself to kind of sing and vamp. And it's very much a kind of almost like a church song.
Yeah, you know? It does, especially with steels there. It's got a little gospelish stuff. And then Tony M is dressed in white to Prince's black.
Yeah.
And he raps into a telephone.
A cell phone. Is it not a Motorola something or other? It's like the... Actually, I think I looked up Motorola cell phones from 1991 to make sure that was the thing. It's got this big headset and this tiny little plastic door that would flip down.
That's right.
But it was mainly to be cool.
Yeah, well, the door was just there to direct your voice back at the microphone.
Yeah, it did nothing but like keep dust off the buttons when you weren't using it.
Right.
Because you probably didn't have it in your pocket because it weighed like 6 pounds.
That is way too big for most people's pockets.
Big. Yeah, so Tony does, because on the album version, it almost sounds like it's on the radio, like it kind of tunes, and then Tony M is got this filter on his voice as he delivers the laid-back rap. So we see Rosie deliver her hunk chunk line right to the camera, so you can see her, you know, saying hunk chunk a piece of your love tonight.
It's very fun.
Yeah. Did you see the sleeves on Tony M's puffy shirt?
Like he looked like Seinfeld.
The low talker from Seinfeld probably asked him to wear that. I mean, it was near that time.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a flute player in the band also. There's horns and there's a flute player that you see at 4 minutes and 24 seconds. You can see some of the set walls in this too, or really probably just the studio walls.
Right.
At 4 minutes and 48 seconds where you see a view of the back of Prince dancing and you can see some, you know, just the utilitarian type walls off to the, in the background of the shot.
Very fun.
Which I kind of like that they were like, it doesn't really matter. Let's just play the song and have a good time. I will ask you, I felt like they were lip syncing.
Yes.
The songs. They probably performed it live, recorded it, and then mocked performing it live a handful of times to get the shots they needed for the video.
Yes.
So it's not a live performance.
No. I don't think so.
It's a lip sync of a previously recorded live performance.
I agree. That's how it looked to me.
Which is like the entire Sign of the Times concert film.
Yeah.
Happened too. I do like how it ends. Prince kind of almost is this robot that kind of winds down and mimics playing the piano and a little bit, and then mimics playing drums and points to the drummer for like the last little beat at the very end. It was just kind of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. All right, so there was the short video from the Super Bowl. So it was Super Bowl 26 played in the Metrodome in Minneapolis.
Okay.
Prince's crew gathers to watch the broadcast.
Okay.
Then there are a few scenes from the video. There's some football footage. And then there's the football players lip-syncing to Tony M's rap. And they legitimately look like they're having fun. Like, a couple of them look petrified. But most of them are just like... real happy.
Cool.
To be lip syncing. Let my cards on the table tonight. Don't take me like my flow hits you just like a lead pipe while I'm clocking. You just said that's about the boots I'm knocking. And then the credits are all done over Willing and Able. Okay. So the end credits to the Super Bowl, there it starts with space footage. Like, I guess the astronauts on the space station were watching the Super Bowl or something live, maybe. I don't know.
Was the space station there in 1991?
Yeah. It might have been Mir.
Yeah.
But there was a space station up there.
Okay.
But there was space footage, which was weird. And I'm like, that probably made a lot more sense back in 1992 when this aired. But whatever. Then there's some footage of prints from the video. There's clips of the game.
Okay.
The Washington Redskins.
Okay.
Defeated the Buffalo Bills 37-24.
I should have guessed the Bills. They lost, I think, every Super Bowl in the 1990s. But okay. Wow, I forgot. Minneapolis hosted the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
In 1991.
1992.
Two, yeah. Well, it was the 1991 season. Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the credits roll over the footage of either Prince or the game.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that was fun.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, it's neat that, I mean, people thought that when he did the Super Bowl in, what was it, 07, 08, uh-huh, when the Dolphins played, that was his first, like, Super Bowl thing, and it was not.
No.
There was so much that aligned for Diamonds and Pearls with the Special Olympics being in Minneapolis that year. The Super Bowl was in Minneapolis, basically, that year. The MTV Video Music Awards thing that was, you know, just the right timing for the kickoff of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff aligned. Maybe that's why they showed space, because planets aligned.
Planets aligned. All right, then we have Money Don't Matter Tonight, and we have two versions of this video.
That's right.
So the first version is directed by Spike Lee and includes no video footage.
No, no musica, a record. No novel, a book. No news of paper.
Well, fun for you. I made a little mistake.
Fun for you.
Sorry. Oh, it's going to be fun at the end. All right. So it was directed by Spike Lee and does not include any footage of Prince whatsoever.
I wonder if Spike Lee was kind of disappointed in that. Obviously, Spike Lee's a Prince fan.
Yeah.
They collaborated together later on with the whole Girl 6 soundtrack, which had some songs that Prince kind of collected for it. Didn't, like, record a new album for it. But, like, Spike Lee, you got the call to do a Prince video. I don't want to be in it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make one with another director that I will be the focus of.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no idea how that went. But it's a black and white video of a man speaking to the president about how hard things are at that particular moment.
President. Mr. President. I don't think you realize what's going on here. I can't feed my family. I got no job, Mr. President. I got laid off. My wife, she tried to help out a little bit, but guess what? She got laid off too. Mr. President, what am I supposed to do? Where are the jobs? Economic recovery? Yeah, right. What happened?
That'd be the first Bush president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The wife makes peanut butter and jelly for her family.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that she got the peanut butter out of a can?
Oh, like a can, metal can?
Yeah, like a can of peas.
Oh, no.
And so I looked, I'm like, jars? Yes, tubs. I can get behind that.
Yeah, yeah.
All I can find for cans is like MREs for doomsday preppers.
Oh, shit. Okay. I don't think, things were bad for the family. I don't know if it was, atomic fallout, nuclear fallout bad.
No. But, you know, it's kind of a literal interpretation of the lyrics. So
very
it
much
wasn't
like a struggling
just
family.
Prince
yeah.
That did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's what I assume is stock footage of lots of different things.
Yeah, or I would call it at that point, I don't know that it was stock, but it was archival footage of like historic events, that kind of stuff that was maybe public domain with the correct request or whatever.
Well, but like the blackjack table, that's stock footage. Okay. That's not archival.
Okay, that's true. Yeah, probably sourced from elsewhere.
Right. Yeah.
Shot by Spike.
Right. So like the stock footage, like this stock exchange footage, I think that is archival. The blackjack stuff is stock photography.
All right. Gotcha. There's words though, right? Like thematic words that flash on the screen. Like
at some point.
Depression, recession.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right.
No work.
Yeah. So there's the New York Observer. It's a newspaper.
Okay.
In 1992, it was a relatively new newspaper, the New York Observer, having been founded in 1987. So I doubt that they would have had a front page with the headline that Hoover's had said. He was known to say, "Prosperity is just around the corner." That was a common quote of his during the Great Depression. I don't think it would have been on the cover of the New York Observer. Though I was like, just around the corner. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It was written and said all over Graffiti Bridge.
Of course.
What, we get a Trump Taj Mahal. Like all the stuff of extreme, excessive, wasteful wealth, basically. And Trump's Taj Mahal in Vegas makes, you know, an appearance.
Yeah, so we get all this, like, heartbreaking shots of people struggling, as you said, archival sorts of footage of, like, how tough things have been over the years. And then we get Trump's Taj Mahal casino, and Trump and George Bush are kind of right under the lines, make sure your soul's all right.
Yes. It's like you are completely disconnected from like the trials of normal human people.
Right. So I think he was insinuating that their souls were maybe not all right.
Correct.
Yeah. I couldn't find that the New York Register was a real paper. Again, we have that stock market footage that we mentioned. Yes. And I'm I don't even know how they did the stock exchange when it was on chalkboards. That baffles me.
That's true. Like, it would have been easy for someone to cheat it.
Yeah, or just, like, I don't even know how it's possible to keep up with it. I mean, all these people are yelling and people are writing stuff down. And, like, it must have been very loud days.
Yeah. It kind of dates it also when there's a chart that shows stock averages daily or whatever. And it goes positive. I'm like, what's the range there? And it's like 360 to 380 is the range. And in 1991... the average closing for the Dow Jones was 2920.
Okay.
So it was way higher than the 300 and something.
Right.
And I'm like, I should look that up for today, 2024. The Dow Jones is hovering between 39,500 and 40,000.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know,
yeah,
more than 10 times what it was in 1991.
Right.
Which was nearly 10 times as much as the chart that's shown.
Yeah, from 29-ish.
Did they make charts? Do they have graphs, infographics in the 20s? Just asking for a friend.
They made charts for tables, or for newspapers. Charts for tables.
I wasn't going to say anything.
You didn't want to have some fun for you?
Colin Powell makes an appearance, and with bread lines, and again, more extravagant casinos.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad images of children, and
you do get the Spike Lee feel for it, because it has kind of this gritty, raw, like, you know, on in the, like, almost docu-series kind of feel to it. But it also is a little easy, like, with the song.
Yeah.
I know that's very unfair for me to say, like, oh, Insatiable is just about, you've convinced me it's about a fantasy. Okay, well, let's make a little fantasy video. And here, Money Don't Matter Tonight is about, look at all this unnecessary wealth, and these people, their hearts and souls aren't in the right place. And then you've got so many more families and individuals, not just in America, but all over the world, struggling and kind of stand in line for bread. And let's show that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like an easier...
the easy way to do it. But they were making a point.
They were.
It was pointed. And then we get to, like, 4 minutes and 20 seconds or so in the video. And then you have people who are kind of finding joy.
Yes.
Right?
The family that was eating the peanut butter is seen, and they're singing along to the lyrics too, together.
Right. Yeah, they're like standing on a sidewalk. Yeah, and singing along, and there's sort of like a hopefulness of like, and the little girl even says to us, money don't matter. And, you know, the littlest girl in this little fictional family in the video. And so you kind of get the idea of like, look, you can be happy without all of these trappings.
Right.
Says a rich man.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of has this like almost uplifting feeling, but that doesn't minimize the struggling still. It was fine.
Yeah. I would love to know the story of like, hey, Spike, would you make your own video for this without my involvement, or did Prince say I want it to be?
That was my impression. I don't know why I have that impression, but that was my impression, that he was like, Spike Lee, here's the song, go make a video.
Yeah, which, great.
Yeah, but this version was deemed too pointed and not MTV friendly.
Yeah, I mean, there was some Iraq war footage in there too, or some kind of like recent Middle East war footage in there for late 90s or late 1991 when this was shot. So yeah, probably too polarizing, question mark.
Maybe.
Even though that's what, I mean, the song is about, like, the, you know, it is a song
like
about the polarization. Like, we couldn't get more separation between wealth and poverty.
Well, and like maybe someday we'll find a good reason to kill our children.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's like right there in the lyrics.
Yep.
So, but there was a second video also directed by Sotera Shetter. Mm-hmm. And the second video that we watched is actually a combination of Spike Lee and Sotera Shetter's versions.
Right.
Sotera Shetter's full version, which is just a performance of the video, is not available. That I can find
the song.
Right. It's just a performance of the song.
Yeah.
The sole one, just solely that.
Yeah.
No, it's not the online that I could find.
Yeah. Yeah. So like they just diluted, they de-spiked it.
Sure. A little bit.
A little bit. Kept some of the, you know, lifestyle video, but interspersed it with a lip sync performance. It's still the album version of the song.
Yeah, and was a promo video for, which I don't know.
Yeah,
what video is not a promo?
And it looks
video,
to me like the same stage and band setup as the Willing and Able.
Yes,
performance.
Yes, it looks like it was filmed at the same time.
Yes.
Uh huh. But. Because everybody's pretty much dressed the same.
Correct.
But the set is much darker.
Yes.
Everybody's like sitting down. It's a little more.
Yeah, this isn't a party song anymore, right? This is kind of a statement song.
Yeah.
And Prince has got a black hat that he didn't have in the previous videos too.
Yes. We still get some of the footage from the Spike Lee version, both the fictional family and the archival videos. And then Prince and the band still with the lyrics, at least some of the lyrics, scrolling over the screen.
Yeah.
And the pointed message against Trump and Bush is still very much there.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't Trump walk through like a rotating door or something, a building lobby, do it right at, making sure your soul's all right?
Yes. Yeah. And it switches to Bush at that same time.
Right.
Yeah. But it's softened a little bit because during the Trump portion in this one, where Trump walks through that door, there's like a skinny banner in the middle with Prince singing. And then over Bush, there's a little inset of Rosie singing. So it's like it softens it a little.
Yep. I think just seeing the band, you're not trying to hide behind anything, I guess, you know, too, which sounds silly, like because today you hide behind everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think let's get some of the performers in here, and it makes it a little softer, even though the pointedness of it all is still there.
It's maybe even a little more pointed because that image of Colin Powell shows up right under the lyric, all he finds are snakes in every color. And I'm like, that is so pointed. And I didn't remember that being exactly under those lines.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this one's more pointed. But just because it's got the band in it, suddenly it's MTV friendly.
We have a close friend who's a filmmaker and like studies this, teaches it, directing, and how all these things are, there aren't coincidences on screens.
No,
right?
It's, especially everything is not when you've got 4 or 5 minutes to tell a story.
Right. Yeah.
You know, everything matters.
Yeah. I would say even more so like in a 15 second commercial.
Right.
It's everything really matters.
Right.
You've got so little time, but certainly when you have a longer runway, every prop, every position of everything, every edit, every cut.
Sure.
The timing of audio, that's not because it's all put together, right? Uh-huh. It's made.
Well, I think that's why it's frustrating when you have things like Diamonds and Pearls that is confusing.
Okay.
Or, you know, bothersome in some way, because they only have this short amount of time to tell some kind of story.
Okay.
And they don't use it well. I think that's why maybe Money Don't Matter Tonight is a more effective video in either form, because you had a filmmaker making it.
True. And there's a constant message too. It's about, I want to say diversity. It's sort of like economic disparity is what it's about.
Yes.
Whereas like something like Love, don't go mixing like sexual love with the love of a child.
Right.
These things don't go together. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought Money Don't Matter Tonight was the sign of the times of Diamonds and Pearls.
Sure.
Not just because of the song, you know, because Sign of the Times like covered a lot of these things too. Like, we're sending people to the moon and women have to kill their babies because they can't afford to feed them. And
right.
Here we're sending kids off to war and we've got all this unnecessary wealth and there's snakes everywhere. The Sign of the Times video was, there was a... no prints in the video, just lyrics on screen. And here there is the same type of approach, even though it's like with Spike Lee, a more like experienced filmmaker doing that kind of thing too. So there are a lot of similarities between 87 and 91. I mean, they're only 4 years apart too. So,
right.
But that is 4 years, like 30 years in Prince time.
This is true. We get some vertical text scrolling, which we didn't get in the Spike Lee-only version, which I kind of appreciated.
Did we cover It Begins and Ends with a turquoise question mark also?
Oh, no, we didn't mention
it that. Starts with a turquoise question mark on screen. Teal, turquoise, aqua, whatever you want to say. Blue-green, and it appears again at the end also, which is because it's not Money Don't Matter Tonight, does it? You know, it's not a question, it's a statement, but the question marks bookend the whole thing.
Okay. Yeah, I don't
know
why.
I don't know why.
Prince is a little pointed. Again, this is the MTV friendly version, and yet Prince looks right into the camera for the lyrics, and you think you got it bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's pointed.
Yeah.
Come on. This is maybe more so.
You're right. Yeah. It just, having him on screen, everyone thinks of Prince as, the guy does the splits. He sang Darling Nikki.
Yeah.
The Purple Rain guy. You know, and then he had a few other songs between now and then.
Yeah. Oh, and he had
it's
that bad
easy
movie.
You know? Just last year.
Yeah.
Or maybe people didn't even know about it. You know,
I think a lot of people knew about Graffiti Bridge, but didn't.
But people were ready for their Prince fix in 1991, maybe more than ever since the height of his fame in 84.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, fix it. Fix that thing you did last year.
Which is interesting, coming from like the same, I would have been like, I was just performing at your award show with my fake ass hanging out of my pants. And you want me to fix a video that shows poverty and Trump?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I think we've spoken enough about these particular videos. Let's make some selections.
Okay, fine.
Okay. So we choose three things. We choose a time capsule, something that exemplifies when the material is recorded or when it was released. These are all pretty close. The sea, the low point, the mountain, the high point. These are my rules, so I go first. Time capsule. For me, it's got to be the football players lip syncing the rap.
Okay.
Just because it was like very of the time, and that was kind of close to when they did that like football rap.
The Super Bowl Shuffle?
Super Bowl Shuffle, thank you. So,
show it the reverence it deserves. Oh, the Chicago Bears and the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Okay.
I think the Money Don't Matter Tonight could have ended with, we didn't come to start no trouble. We just came to do the Super Bowl Shuffle.
All right.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you knew.
What is your time capsule?
My time capsule, it's just the Diamonds and Pearls video. Okay. Because I think it was in huge circulation, had broad appeal. I think it appealed to women a lot more than some of the previous Prince stuff did.
Sure.
Because he was sexy and cool. On first watches, you miss how weird it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just Prince looking cool and doing these cool dance moves. No, look, Prince is with little kids.
Uh-huh.
He's, yeah, like, behaving normally. And, you know, it was playful and fun. Cool choreography, the bounce off the chair. You see it in almost every little clip of a Prince video collection has that move in it.
That's very fun.
So that's my time capsule. The Diamonds and Pearls video.
The C for me was the two quick cuts in the Willing and Able video. It's a little too much like Raven to the Year 2000. It's got a little, you know, I have a little aversion to that. I would like it just, I was okay with them being so close. I just wanted a little more time in each place.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
I meant to mention in the Diamonds and Pearls video towards the end, during like one of Michael Bland's big drum like breaks, there are cuts here. There's like 12 scenes in a half second period in there.
Yeah.
That's super, and it made me think of that. And I was like, oh, well, it's just this one little part that's like actually part of the song too. So,
right. Yes.
But yes, I agree with you on the quick cuts. Mine, I mean, it was hard for me to pick this because I respect Spike Lee and I wasn't there to hear what he was asked to do. I don't know, but just me as a viewer watching it, it's well done, but there's those silly type overlays that are trying, like, the song is saying this already. We don't need depression, recession, like this, you know.
Okay.
I think it's overly like trying to pound into my head what I already know because I'm listening to the song.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd much rather Prince be featured in Prince videos than stock and archival footage and other actors being in a Prince video.
That's fine. Fair. The Mountain, for me, was really that he just basically made videos for the entire record.
He did.
I mean,
nearly all of it.
Yeah, nearly all of it. Walk, Don't Walk doesn't get one. Push didn't get one, but the Super Deluxe gave us a video of it with the Special Olympics performance.
Yep.
And I just loved that it was like, I'd really rather Prince stick to videos than make movies, mostly. Because, you know, if he screws it up, if it's not good, it's 4 or 5 minutes, whatever. But when it's really good, he does a really good job.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen him make a film later in his career.
Yeah, that's true.
And had, like, support. He could have directed it, that's fine, but have a production team and, like, a cinematographer that's trustworthy and that kind of stuff to help him out.
That's fair.
Off the rails, Christy. Sorry. My Mountain, despite the quick cuts, it's Willing and Able.
Okay.
Because in contrast to the Spike Lee version of Money Don't Matter Tonight, Willing and Able is everything I like in a Prince video. It's performance-based, so we're not going to try to tell a story that could go a little weird.
Uh-huh.
It's a new take of the song, so I've got a reason to watch this video, like outside of the song I already know. What would give me sure. Now you got to feed my eyes because my ears have already had dinner.
Yeah, so you get both.
Yeah.
This one.
No obvious Raspberry Beret moments in Willing and Able.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of reasons to watch it because of what's going on and them not trying to make it perfect or worrying about like the camera guy and the woman who was following him, like his tech person who's trying to make sure he doesn't run into people or whatever her job was. I mean, I had all these reasons to watch it and to record it to a cassette so I could listen to the alternative take like I did because you couldn't get it anywhere else.
Right.
Like, why isn't this on one of the 900 EPs or maxi singles or make it a B-side? Horny Pony had plenty of room to play. You know, Willing and Able could have gotten to this other take, could have gotten a release. Now, we did get it as an audio version on Super Deluxe, which I appreciate, but I just always love the more soulful version of it. It's a great second take of it.
Yeah, agreed.
Hoo boy. All right, next time.
Mm-hmm. I figure I better not ask.
Better not ask about
what we're doing next time. You told me not to ask because you were going to get all mad at me. So I didn't ask. I waited for you to tell me.
I feel attacked. Why don't you let me just do my part? We're going to enter episode 10 of Diamonds and Pearls Super Deluxe Editions by saying congratulations. We made it past the album pre-release build-up, the hype, some B-sides, some maxi singles. These videos, whether or not you love them, now it's time for the stuff that longtime fans were really looking forward to with the Diamonds and Pearls Super Deluxe Edition release, which was the outtakes. Oh. Give me the outtakes.
Outtakes.
Are we glad we asked for these, or do we regret it? We will examine that by starting on disc 3 of the Super Deluxe Edition, which is the vault disc. We're going to cover the first 5 tracks on disc 1.
Okay.
Along with a slight pit stop, there's this second disc of the Super Deluxe Edition, which is to me the most annoying with edits and DJ fades and that kind of stuff. But it does, and parts of maxi singles, but not all of them for whatever reason. But there was a B-side there for Call of the Law that we have not talked about yet. It was the B-side for Money Don't Matter Tonight. So the 6 tracks we'll cover next time, the B-side, Call of the Law, and then the first 5 tracks from Super Deluxe Disc 3.
Okay.
Spoiler alert for 2 weeks after that, we will be covering the last half of that disc, but you're saying, well, wait, aren't there 7 songs on that last half because you're only covering 5?
No.
There are 6 songs, but one of them is from the B-sides edits thing with Call the Law, and then there's first five songs of the vault disc.
Uh-huh.
So that leaves 7 left because there are 12 on that vault disc.
Okay.
So how are you going to only cover 6? What are you skipping? We're not skipping anything. We already covered Glam Slam 91, which is on this disc, so it makes a nice little split for us to cover 6 songs in each episode for the next 2. In the end, we'll get through Vault Disc 1.
Awesome.
That's my grand master plan.
Excellent.
That's what I've been working on for like 3 days to figure that out.
Thank you very much for putting that together for us so that we have a plan for our next 2 episodes. And thank you, dear listener, for listening. We know you make a choice when you listen to us. We don't just come on the radio. We really appreciate it. Tell a friend if you have a Prince fan friend whom doesn't know about the show. It is way more fun when you can listen with a friend. And until next time, happy purple listening.
Ooh, thanks for sticking with us.
And the way you spelled it, I would say that's definitely Chessman, not Cheeseman.
Do 2 E's make a short E sound?
There were 2 E's? I thought there were 2 S's.
Cheesman.
Oh. Then Cheeseman. Sorry. mistake. I misheard it.
Boy, that's a kind of a strange spelling of a name, whether it's Cheese or Chez.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cheeseman.
Yeah.
He's the superhero.
Like Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.